everyone. Welcome to Authors on the Air. I'm your host, Pam Stack. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. Welcome to Superstar Wednesday. I want to first announce new releases for any of you listening. If you're a writer and you have a new book out the week of the shows, please just pop me a message on Facebook, post it right on my page on Authors on the Air, and I'm going to go ahead and announce it. Only two authors took me up on it this week, which is interesting. The first book is by Cece Cordelia. It is called The Dance Hall Wife, and that is part of the Brides of Little Creed book two. And the other is by USA Today bestselling author, congratulations, PJ Fiala. Her book is called Lincoln. I know there are other great books. If you're listening and you have books out, please go ahead and go to my page and write them in. This month is Domestic Violence Awareness Month and Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but I also wanted to make it Children's Book Month because I have not really spoken to that many children's authors in 30 years because that's how old my daughter is. And I'm not even telling you if that's the actual truth. My guest today is a lady named Marie Unanue. Marie wrote a book. This is her first attempt, and it's absolutely special. The Adventures of Fatty and Payaso, Central Park. I'm hoping that this is the first of many books. Marie wanted to write a book to teach children kindness and character skills, gratitude, self-control, and social intelligence. I am thrilled to have Marie here with me today. Marie Unanue, thank you so much for being with me. Welcome to Authors on the Air.
Thank you so much, Pam, and thank you for having me on. I'm so excited.
It's a pleasure to have you here. First of all, most everybody knows I'm a cat lover. I have five cats. So the book appealed on several levels. First, obviously the cover art, your fat cats, which I have. And also the theme of kindness. In social media these days, which I'm sure you know, it's oft-time difficult to find kind posts or occasionally it's overwhelmed with bad news instead of nice things and kind things. So I was very attracted to the thought of talking to you about teaching children kindness. Can you please tell me a little bit about where this idea came from and why you wrote this book?
Sure. So I agree. You know, well, first of all, let me tell you, I started to write the book because I had a cat named Fatty, and Fatty in real life was a 28-pound tabby, and he had a best friend named Payaso that lived next door. So for 13-plus years, they had this amazing friendship that no matter how much time went in between visits, because Payaso lives in Seattle when he's not here in New York, they never forgot each other. And I thought, wow, you know, every child should have, or every person should have a friendship like Payaso and Fatty. It didn't matter how different they were. Fatty was a tabby, a rescue from a shelter. Payaso is this exotic, pure breed, carries himself with such grace. And he's just definitely a very, very self-confident cat. Whereas Fatty, as he's running, his belly's flopping around underneath him. He's quite hysterical.
Aww.
And
aww.
I thought, wow, this is a perfect example for kids to see that when you, one, have a friend that's different or perhaps has an insecurity such as their weight or a stutter or anything that makes them feel like they're different or stand out from other kids, it's so helpful when they have a friend that's there for them to help them through the tough times, stand up for them when they're bullied. And I thought, wow, this would be a great example for me to use for children. And as a cat lover, animal lover, to be honest, I thought, well, everybody can kind of learn a lot from animals because they just have such a special way about them.
Yes.
So that's what the start was. And then my girlfriend had given me the character skills that were missing in kids today from characterlab.org. So we thought that would be such a great idea to incorporate those character skills into the characters so they could lead by example, which I'll talk about more in a few minutes. But then when I started, as I was writing the book, watching how social media was affecting kids today, I thought, wow, what an opportunity here to write a book for kids about kindness and then incorporate ways for kids to turn to social media in a positive way to hopefully inspire other kids to do so. Because on top of politics, on top of shaming, on top of bullying, the internet with social media has just changed so much for children today, because they leave school and they no longer have that, you know, that respite from the bully. They have to then get home and then deal with it on social media. Whereas when I was a kid, somebody was picking on me. I left school and I at least had the whole night, half the day, dinner. I wouldn't have to deal with it to the next day. On Fridays, you have the whole weekend. But now kids don't have that. And
right.
It's a problem.
And you had your friends. It occurs to me, I've had several really long conversations with girlfriends that I've known for a long time. And we had this discussion, and it's a continuing discussion about how kids are socialized differently nowadays than they were when I was growing up. And judging from your photograph, I can tell I could be your grandmom, but
I don't know about that.
But what we all had in common was a best friend. There were a group of us that we might have had infighting because that's the way kids did it, but we stuck by each other. And to this day, my best friend is someone I've known since I'm 5 years old. And when I tell you that's almost 60 years, I'm not joking. And other friends that I've known for years and years and years and years and years and consider very close friends. So I think that also helps with, like you were talking about, the shaming, the bullying, the, you know, targeting someone for what they look like and all. I don't recall it being like that as badly as it is now. So I think you hit on something there. Tell me, please, what is CharacterLab.org?
Character Lab is a wonderful organization that studies character skills in children, and they've come up with ways through research to not only teach children about character skills, but also they've proven that their skills are a learned behavior. We're not born with character. It's these are, you know, skills and traits that we learn as we grow. And if kids today can understand grit, zest, social intelligence, purpose, and amongst many others, it could change how their life plays out. For example, when a child learns at a young age gratitude, and they understand being in the moment, being thankful, the importance of expressing thanks, my big thing, sending a thank you card, acknowledging when somebody goes out of their way to be kind to you. That
yes.
I use this example with kids all the time. When they go for that first job interview, if when they get home, they write that person that interviewed them a thank you card, I could promise them they're going to get that job, or they're going to at least be considered for it, because they're going to
absolutely
stand out, right? And these are things that are just have fallen away today. You know, again, email, texting, things have just made it so, I guess, not
impersonal.
And also a casual, for lack of better words, casual. You know, when I was a kid, my mother made me send a thank you for anything somebody gave, hand-me-down clothes. Somebody
as
gave
mine
me,
too.
I wrote a thank you card. And also, my biggest frustration is I'll send kids gifts today in the mail, and I'll have to wonder, geez, did they get it?
Did they
get it? Nobody, exactly.
Oh, I have this conversation with my best friend all the time. It makes me nuts.
I could not agree more. I'm right with you.
Yeah, I my mother would roll over in the grave if I didn't send a thank you note. So I understand completely. Also, Marie, don't you think that if you have gratitude, you also learn, and you're kind, you learn how to empathize. To not sympathize or pity, but to have an empathy with someone, and that develops character.
Absolutely, and that's, I'm so glad you brought this up, because I've been traveling the country speaking at schools, and the first thing I talk about, you know, obviously characters, I get the kids excited, sometimes they meet Stanley, the dog who's in the book comes with me, but the first thing I really talk about is empathy. And I do that because if one, I think it's the hardest skill to, but
yes.
two, I think if kids understood it, that it might really be the first thing that could stand up to bullies. Because if somebody could actually empathize and put themselves in the shoes of somebody else, they would think twice, because then they'd think, how would I feel if somebody did this to me? And that's
I
open it with kids, because I put it in ways they can understand. And I think, geez, if you at that moment when you're posting something or putting up pictures of a party that everybody was invited to except for one or two people, think about if it was you, how you'd feel.
Right.
And I'll tell you, when I look out into the audience, I could actually see the kids thinking. I could actually see some of them getting it. Or, you know, and I'll talk about, you know, if they see a child sitting alone at lunch, how would they feel if they were sitting alone? You know, and I get them thinking about it. And then what can you do to help that person sitting alone? And I ask them to, what would they want someone to do for them? And I think that teaching them empathy is so key, because I think it could honestly combat bullying, because people will start, kids especially will start thinking twice.
It's interesting that you're talking to kids about being different. There is a, I'm very active in the domestic violence advocacy community here in Southwest Florida. And one of the local women's emergency centers does a program for kids and the instructor about bullying, and the instructor will say, okay, how many of you have green eyes? And the kids will move to have green eyes. And then she'll say, okay, how many of you have red hair? And then the kids that have red hair will get in a group. How many of you think you're overweight? And then those kids will get in a group. And she goes, one, but how many of you don't speak perfect English? And goes around with things that are just common to kids, nothing bad, you know. And then she says, okay, how many of you feel different? And all of them step forward. And it's a really interesting lesson for them to see that, you know, they are unique, but there's no perfection, and they have much more in common than they think. So I love the fact that you're teaching kids empathy. To me, if they have that, if they're educated about empathy, then everything else flows from there. Everything else flows from there. I love it. I think it's magnificent.
Thank you. You know, I grew up, my mom would say, treat other people the way you want to be treated. When
exactly.
I tell you, it was so drilled into me that if I came home and said I was just being bullied at school and I'd be upset, she still would say, well, that's a shame. Treat that child the way you want to be treated. And I'd say, but mom. And she'd say, I don't care. They're wrong. You're not going to be wrong. You're going to show them kindness because they don't know it. And it just always stuck with me that if you treat somebody with that respect and kindness and you show them, then hopefully they'll think twice when they go to teach you differently. It doesn't always work. And I know there's instances for myself that I felt frustrated as a child that, well, that's not working. But still, if you're consistent with it, you don't change who you are. You don't lower yourself to the bully's level. And you
sure.
just remain kind. It says so much about your character. And really, this is one of the things we talk about with the kids, is just how important your character is, how important that moral compass. And exactly what you said, you have insecurities. Guess what? Everybody has insecurities.
Exactly.
There's not a person alive that is perfect at anything. Not any superstar, not any singer. You know, and I've actually, you know, tried using examples, and I think it works when we talk about who's everybody's favorite, you know, singer. And, you know, we talk about Beyonce. We talk about, you know, Kanye West or whoever everybody's into at the time. We talk
right.
about, okay, would you believe they get stage fright? Or they're insecure about this. You know, and we talk about, these are the biggest celebrities in Hollywood, and even they have insecurities. And you could see the kids thinking, wow, okay, that's good to know, because they look at them like they're perfect and everything comes so easy to them. And guess what? It doesn't.
You know, what a terrific thing to do. I don't think I've read a book that spells it out quite like that. And it's a lovely book. Let's talk about just the story in the book and your target age for Fatty and Payaso. And by the way, for those who don't know, Payaso is clown in Spanish. Marie and I were talking in the green room ahead of time. It's been, you know, about 10 years since I've lived in Miami, my Spanish is just about gone. this is the tale through Central Park. So this is Fat Ann Piazza Central Park. Tell us a little bit about the story, please.
So Fatty is bullied daily by the birds, and he finds himself confronted by a very, very mean hawk that is mangled. He's apparently suffered some tragedy because his talons and his beak are mangled, and he's very, very, very harsh and fierce and threatens Fatty in the first chapter of the book. And Fatty's a scared, overweight cat. He's insecure. He's waiting for his friend to come to town. And over the course of the story, we see Fatty make this decision that he's going to go out into Central Park to try and stop the hawk from coming back and potentially hurting his friends. And what happens is when Piazza and Clyde and the other characters in the book realize that Fatty's out in the park by himself, they go out to help him. So we're seeing the park, we're seeing the bully, we're seeing everything unfold from all different perspectives. And throughout the book, what parents seem to love is all the characters are sharing, they come to terms with their weaknesses because they're forced to face them. And they also see that they're not the only ones with insecurities and weakness. And they also see that forgiveness, being kind, being there for each other really matters. And we see characters that, you know, Fatty, for one, he's bullied terribly by these animals for years. And he has the opportunity in the middle of the story to help one of the bullies who's gotten hurt. And he does. He shows forgiveness. He shows empathy. And even the bully says, I don't understand why you would help me. And I think that, or at least what I'm hearing, parents love it because it's the kids are engaged, they're laughing, they're on this adventure, but they're also learning such important life lessons. And we're seeing, you know, this undercat, you know, come to terms with, okay, so what? He's different and overweight, but he's still great. And you're rooting for him. And you're rooting for Piazza, who's the Hispanic character, and he's has got several Kindles, and he's well-read, and he speaks multiple languages. And you're even seeing that as smart and as talented and as world-traveled as he has his own insecurities. So it's really fun to see all the characters unfold. And it really inspired me to do the kindness challenge, which is where I'm asking kids at all these schools across the country that even if they've never read the book or don't plan to read the book, to go out into the community and to be their own kindness advocate. Do something kind for somebody and then share it to inspire other kids to do the same. And they share it with the hashtag Let's All Be Kind, which is my website where people could see the book, read about the character skills, hear more about kindness, and also purchase the book.
I love it. I love it so much. You've said, you know, you talked about forgiveness too. I often talk about that. I always say forgiveness is for the forgiver. It's hard for kids to forgive because it's hard to forget. How do you impart that lesson, Marie, when it is hard to forget that someone hurt your feelings, or maybe they hit you or they said something unkind? You want to be the bigger person and forgive. How do we teach children that forgiveness really is for the forgiver?
This is a great question. And I have to say, I'm 43, and there's times where even as an adult, I think, well, that was so not nice. I'm going to not, you know, deal with that person again. And as an adult,
right,
it's very easy. You could just separate yourself from them and not have to deal with people, obviously, unless it's a work situation and you're forced to.
Sure.
But for kids, much like someone that has going to work every day with a bully or someone that's hurt them, these kids have to go to school every day with the person that's hurt them. And it's very, very hard to teach forgiveness. But I think what we're doing by showing actions of forgiveness, we're allowing these kids to see, okay, this protagonist not only forgave, here's what we found out. We find out that the person that hurt them was hurting themselves. So these kids are able to see that, wow, that this person that hurt me, maybe they're doing this because they are hurting themselves or they don't know how to treat people. Nobody taught them. You know, everybody has a different home life. You know, some people are blessed to have a great
sure.
mom and dad that are involved. There's so many kids out there that aren't blessed with that, you know, and they're coming where nobody cares if they learn kindness or character. And I think that if kids can understand, again, with the empathy, if they think, geez, you know, why is this person hurting me? Would I want someone to forgive me? They could put themselves in the shoes of the person that hurt them, and they give them another chance. Now, by no means would I ever want a child to put themselves in a dangerous situation where somebody who keeps hitting them or hurting them, doing
Absolutely.
It over and over again. Forgiveness
Absolutely.
Is earned, just like respect is earned. You know, just because you show kindness to someone doesn't always mean that you're forgetting what they did to you, but you're willing to be the bigger
person.
Give them
a chance. Yes.
Give them a chance. And that's what I'm asking kids to do, because I think that especially in the ages of 7 to 10, where my target audience is right when
yes.
they're just starting to get into going online, they're getting their, you know, these kids are getting phones so early that they're on Snapchat. And it is
scary.
It is scary.
Oh, my God.
I wasn't even allowed to shave my legs till age 13, let alone go to the mall alone
or
go on social media.
So I understand. Times have changed for all of us, but you're right. They
yeah.
are. And it's sad because I think they're missing out on so much fun by, you know, getting into being in that world. But, you know, that's progress, maybe. You're very wise about forgiveness. I agree. I often say to people, you know, forgiveness is for the forgiver. I truly believe that. And people will say, no, never. I'm never forgiving them. And I think that adults forget, you know, don't understand that forgiveness and forgetting are two separate things. That when you hold on to anger from someone, it's like a stomach ache that won't go away.
Absolutely. I mean, who wants to give it that much energy? Number
yeah,
one, I mean, it's just sucking
yeah,
the life out of you to stay mad.
Exactly. You're giving away your good stuff to someone who did something bad. It just doesn't make any sense. I think the way you're approaching it is quite lovely. I want to just ask, I know you have things on your plate. Happy anniversary, by the way.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're so welcome. What is the C&J Unanaway Foundation, please?
Sure. So it's named after Carmen and Joseph Unanaway. That's my in-laws, my husband's mother and father. And they started this foundation many years ago, and it's our family foundation. And we give out to several different charities around the country and throughout the world. My mother-in-law brought water to towns in Honduras and all over the world. Yeah, they're just have. I'm so proud to say that they are easily two of the most philanthropic and amazing people that I've been blessed to meet in my time on this earth.
And that's such a big thing, too. Potable water. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You
that we take for granted as Americans.
You do a lot of philanthropic work. You're on the Women's Committee for the Central Park Conservancy. You're on the board of your in-laws foundation, you're involved with the St. Patrick's Day Parade Foundation, and numerous other things. Plus, you're a travel guide, you are an author, you had a weekly travel review program. What's next for Marie?
Well, I really love the writing. I'll tell you, I never expected when a child first
you.
Read It got
yeah.
me. But, you know, having a child, I just did a signing out in L.A., and it was at 8 o'clock at night, and I didn't expect any kids to come. And this little girl came, and she had the book in her hand, and I could get choked up thinking about it, and a long list of questions. And she was sitting in the front row, and I was so touched that she, you know, her mom let her come out this time of night. And I said, do you have any questions? And she gets out her paper. And she loved the book so much that she decided to do her book report on it, and she loved the characters, and then finding out that the characters were real, I thought, wow, like, how could I not do a book too? You know, I just felt so touched. My biggest hurdle has been, you know, the publishing industry is definitely an aggressive industry, and it's not the easiest industry to break into. It's very competitive. So whenever I start to feel down that, I'm having such a hard time getting this book into the hands of people, I think of that one little girl sitting in the front row, and I think, Joss, if one child treats another child different because they read the book, it would all have been worth it. Any of the
Absolutely.
Energy, and that's something that I can't get past. I'm so excited. I'm And I think Milagro, I've written already. It's the next book is about a female cat, a girl cat named Milagro comes on the scene.
For those of you who don't know, Milagro's Miracle.
I'm so impressed. There you go. See, it's coming back to you.
It's coming back.
There you go. Girl empowerment. And, you know, another topic. I think right now it's still going to have the main thing is kindness and forgiveness and empathy and character skills. But this is going to focus on girl power. And she's the first girl to kind of really come into this group of all male characters and shake things up. And I just really want to reach out to the girls, young girls out there, and let them know that anything's possible. And they have a voice and they're going to be heard. And I'm just so excited to do it. And I feel like now is the time. And I think that's going to be my main focus. I'm still hands-on with any kind of philanthropy that my husband's involved with and our foundation. And that'll always be the case because I feel like that's who we are. And if the minute you forget who you are, you can't figure out where you're going. So
exactly.
Just, you know, I'm just going to keep writing. And the other joy that I found is we've donated a couple thousand books. We've sent the books to the borders, to the detention centers. We've sent books throughout different school programs in New Jersey and the country. And just knowing that kids that, you know, I went to an event through Horizons and I brought books for the kids. And some of these kids, one, had never had their own book. But having a book
it's
signed
amazing,
by an author,
yeah.
Oh, I cried all the way home. I was like, wow.
I'm sure. Who
thought that I'd be able to impact kids like this?
Marie, would
so,
you please
like
tell everyone
home.
Where they can find you on the webs and the best places for parents to go and children to not only
sure.
read your books, but to be empowered, to find their own voice, to learn kindness, gratitude, forgiveness, and empathy?
Sure, I would be happy to. So my website is letsallbekind.com, and on the website, parents and kids could read about the character skills we talk about in the book. They could meet the characters of the story. They could purchase the book. They could also purchase the book at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and any indie bookstore in the country. All they have to do is ask for it. If it's not in stock, they'll get it in. And then on the website, I'm so proud to say, is where kids could read about the Kindness Challenge. And that's where I'm hoping that kids will download the Be a Kindness Advocate sign, which is Fatty or Payaso. And then they'll hopefully go out in the community, make a difference to someone. Even if it's someone at school, they embrace someone who's new to school or someone who's struggling to fit in. Embrace them, do something kind, and share it with the hashtag Let's All Be Kind. So that's basically the website is the main hub for me right now because I feel like it's the best place. Or people could find me on Facebook at Marie Unanoway Author and on Instagram at Marie Unanoway Author.
I have to tell you, I don't know when I've enjoyed a conversation more. You and I talked before in the green room before. I want you to get back in touch with me, have some ideas to help you push this out there. I love it. Will you please come back when you get Milagro done, please? Please, please,
I would
please.
Be so honored. Thank you so much. I would be so honored. You make me cry. Thank you so much. I can't wait. And
well,
I'll definitely be in touch. Thank you.
You and I definitely have to contact each other after this interview. I hope you and Andy have a wonderful, wonderful anniversary celebration. And by the way, are the hiccups gone?
The hiccups are gone. I'm so excited. The minute you said open a bottle of wine, have a glass, and the interview started, they went away immediately.
Completely
so now
forgot
I'm so excited
about it, right?
To say I'm going to enjoy the wine. Exactly.
There you
exactly.
go. Happy anniversary, Marie Unanoway. The book is The Adventures of Fatty and Payaso, Central Park. You can find it in brick and mortar and online anywhere. And please go to Marie's website, www.letsallbekind.com. Marie, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And you and I will be talking again, okay?
I can't wait. Thanks again. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
And that's our show for right now. I'll be back again at 6 o'clock with Anthony Award-winning author, oh my God, I can't wait, Kelly Garrett. Thanks all, and thank you, Mom and Dad.